Blog Talk Radio.
We don't heal in isolation, we heal in community. Welcome back to Your Life After Trauma with me, Michelle Rosenthal. And if you're just joining us, I am tonight talking about depression, and tonight's recovery tip of the week goes really well with depression. The recovery tip of the week is this, it's very simple. Give yourself the day off. Recovering from trauma can feel like a full-time job, and it is. Coping, managing, seeking help, getting treatment, doing the work, all of this work that you have to do makes it even more important that you schedule time off, days when you give yourself a break from the usual work and get out of the recovery routine. This can mean deciding you won't do any recovery assignments, you won't have a therapy assessment, you won't focus on being better than you have been or as much as possible as you used to be. You will just be, as you are in the present moment, doing something that is calm and relaxing. Memorial Day is Monday. I'm giving you permission to take the day off. What will you do to break the post-trauma routine and give yourself a breath of fresh air? And as we move into the next segment of the show, talking about what Cliff did to overcome depression, I'm going to read to you a couple of ideas, Cliff, that, again, were posted on the Heal My PTSD Facebook fan page.
Okay.
Pamela said that she applied the 12 steps of AA to her depression, and it worked. Christina says that she gardens. And Naya says that she uses her therapist's assignment to write down 5 things she's grateful for on a daily basis. So I want to hear what you have to say. If you're just joining us, this is Michelle Rosenthal. You're listening to Your Life After Trauma on CVU Radio, 95.9 FM, 960 AM, 106.9 FM. And you're welcome to call us at 1-877-960-9960. So, Cliff, now, fill us in on how you aced depression.
Well, I talk about my three-legged stool of recovery. For me, medication was very, very important. I know that. You just know when something helps you big time, and it did. Thank goodness there was medication available. And I just quickly say, medication doesn't cover the problem. The best scientists and the best doctors in the world know that, if needed, antidepressants correct a chemical imbalance. They're not a feel-good pill. So for me, that was important. Cognitive therapy was very important. I had spent a year in cognitive therapy with a Christian counselor. I'm a Christian, and I wanted a PhD Christian counselor. And I learned a lot, but I've also read, I've taken ownership of it, I've studied it, you know, with good resources, and I know the disease. Crying on the shoulder of a loved one is cognitive therapy. There's many forms of cognitive therapy that are not just in front of a psychiatrist's couch, in my opinion. The third thing that I do is have a healthy lifestyle. I try to watch my stress levels, try to get decent sleep, exercise on an ongoing basis, 4 days a week or 5 days a week, and as you said earlier, do some things that do relax you. I do take days off where I just do nothing, but let me just say quickly that my book, Acing Depression, I did co-wrote with my daughter, Hilaire Kallendorf, who did a great job on putting the book together. She's a professor at Texas A&M, has her PhD in comparative literature, and I wrote the book to try to give people hope. There's some great tennis stories in there, but I was inspired to write it try to give people hope. And if I can just say that it is on cliffritchiebook.com or amazon.com if people are interested in knowing how they can get it.
Now is also a good time to tell all of you that Cliff has very generously donated 3 copies of the book to Your Life After Trauma. So if you would like a copy of Cliff's book, you can call 877-960-9960. Again, that's 877-960-9960. And the first 3 callers will receive a copy of Cliff's book. And I'm talking with Cliff Ritchie about how to beat depression on Your Life After Trauma, CVU Radio. Cliff, let's talk about when we all come through some sort of traumatic experience, and I think definitely learning to live with, learning to cope with and overcome and manage depression can be traumatic because it interferes with your ability to function. It interferes with your ability to relate to others. So when you came to a place where you realized, I'm doing it, I'm managing this, what did you look back and say, well, this is what I've learned? Does the book address that?
Sure. It has given me an appreciation of life, which you hear so often, but it truly has. I said in the book that if I had the choice of having depression in my life or not, I would take depression, because in my case, being an athlete and being a professional athlete, I really think I needed to be humbled in a way. I think I needed to learn to relate to others and the problems that they have. And unless you have some trauma in your life sometime, and thank goodness it was just clinical depression, because people go through so much more. But I really feel that in a big way that it was a gift in my life, that for some reason God wanted, I prayed for him to take it away. It was, I prayed for him to just take it away, but it wasn't taken away. And now I'm able to go out and speak and try to help some others. And as the great John McEnroe has said, you know, if you can take a negative and turn it into a positive, it's a wonderful thing. And I get much more back than I give when I go out and I speak, and I'm an advocate for mental health.
So if you, when you speak, and if you were going to give some tips tonight right now, what do you suggest others do to get themselves on track? It's so, as we were saying before, it's so difficult to actually reach out to fight the stigma and to, you know, I was fortunate enough to be in a family that was loving enough so that when I finally admitted that I had a problem, because for a long time I pretended everybody else was the problem, and those of you who know me know what that means. But it was very hard to turn around and say, okay, yes, this problem is me, and I need to do something about it. And I really didn't have the first clue about what to do. I had to do a lot of research to figure that out. What do you suggest to audiences that you speak to, and what can you suggest to the audience for your life after trauma to start them on the right path?
Well, number one, there's not a magic wand. Everybody wished that there was such a thing. It is a lot of hard work, but if you're down and out, and I was, and if you know that you're in trouble, and I knew I was, like I said earlier, you know, doctors of any variety, so to speak, particularly your internists, your heart doctors, your general practitioners, your doctor usually is going to be versed in it these days more than ever before. So pour your heart out to that doctor. Tell them what you're feeling. Take ownership of it. Study it. Go get a good book or on the internet articles about clinical depression and what it is versus how you're feeling, and compare it. Lifestyle, all those things that I've talked about. And again, there is hope, and there is, clinical depression is a bully and a liar. You know, it's a liar because it whispers in your ear 24/7 that there's no hope left. You don't have abilities. Everything is a no-hoper and not doable. That's a lie. Regardless of the faith that you are and the God that you worship, God did not make us to be that way. He made us to have good recovery and to be a viable, vital human being. And it's a bully because it comes at you when you're weak and you've suffered losses and you're in a vulnerable position. So you stand up to bullies. We've been taught that. You stand up to that schoolyard bully. He'll back down usually quicker. He doesn't have as many guns as he likes you to think he has. And so there is hope. There is recovery. And I passionately tell people, you know, yes, our society isn't to the point where we accept it yet to the degree that I'd like to see it. There is stigma. But I think that basically a lot of businesses and a lot of people that you think won't understand, your friends, your family, they'll understand more than you think. And so I say get help. You know, there is help.
Cliff, I received an email with a question for you from a woman named Sherry, and she says, I would like to know how proper diet and exercise can improve depression. And you touched on that a little bit. Could you expand on that?
Sure. Exercise can be an actual treatment for mild depression, and it promotes endorphins, and it just promotes good chemistry. I think the healthier, you know, Mental Health America is campaigning the last couple of years that mental health and physical health can go hand in hand, and I believe that. Sleep, diet, good nutrients. All of that is a package for recovery. Now, if you've got clinical depression badly enough, that alone sometime won't do it, but it can be part of an overall package combined with cognitive therapy, medication if needed. But it's a whole package that I like to look at, because it's a mean disease, but hey, we're gonna, as a society, understand that it's a disease and it's beatable, and we're gonna get it out there and beat this thing.
What do you do now, Cliff? And if you're just joining us, this is Your Life After Trauma on CVU Radio, 95.9 FM, 960 AM, 106.9 FM, and you can reach us at 877-960-9960. And let me just take a moment to remind you that if you feel like calling in, but you don't want to be identified on the air, that is A-okay with me. You can come on and never give your name. You can give the first letter of your name. You can give me someone else's name. It makes absolutely no difference. Your privacy is 100% my priority. Cliff, now as we just wrap up here in a few seconds, or a minute or so, tell me this. I know that when I finally got help and I needed a different kind of treatment than you did, but basically we've both learned how to come out of that place in our minds that seems so dark, that seems so impenetrable and so hopeless. And I know when I came out of it, it was almost as if, I explain it to people, as if suddenly the world, I saw the world in Technicolor, whereas I'd been seeing it in black and white and, you know, maybe a few shades of gray. So it was very hard for me to get used to all of a sudden feeling normal. How did you deal with that?
Well, as an athlete, I almost feared trying to compete feeling good.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Feeling
yeah.
bad was a motivator. Anxieties mm-hmm. were a motivator. So I actually wondered if I would still have that meanness, so to speak. But I found that I was just as competitive and I was just as creative. But let me just say this. It's a maintenance program. I still feel, you might say, like an alcoholic. I, too, have read the 12-step program and used that as a motivator and inspiration. But it's an ongoing battle. I don't feel that I've got it defeated, but I'm on the winning side of it. And I don't let my guard down, and I'm still on medication, and I still try to do all the things that are healthy. I still study it. I still read about it. And I just, I'm on top of it, and I don't let a couple of bad episodes make me believe that all is lost and that here we go again. I cover my head and wait for a better day, and there are better days if I just stay basic and stay on my recovery method.
Cliff, that's a great thing to share, and thank you so much for being with me here tonight. We were talking about you during the break, my producer Harry and I, and he's seen you play in Forest Hills more than once. He's a big fan. So thank you for taking some time out to be here with me tonight.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for your show. Thank you for your work. And God bless everybody out there.
And good luck with your book.
Thank you.
And stay with me. We are going to go to a short break. And then the award-winning poet, Denita Stevens, is going to be here to talk about how she copes with depression on Your Life After Trauma on CVU Radio. You can conquer the past and create your future. Welcome back to Your Life After Trauma with me, Michelle Rosenthal. Okay, so now I'm wondering if after that last segment with Cliff Ritchie, you've suddenly had an epiphany about what you're going to do about your depression. So if you feel like sharing, you can reach me at 877-960-9960. My next guest, for those of you who've been listening to the show for a couple of weeks, you've probably already heard me say that I'm a poet and I have an MFA in poetry. It played an enormous role in my recovery from my post-traumatic stress. It allowed me to find language when I hadn't been able to. It allowed me to control the material in a way that I hadn't felt able to. And it allowed me to use metaphors and symbols in ways that allowed me to sort of circle around my trauma instead of getting up close to it right away. So my next guest tonight is Denita Stevens, and she too is a poet. She's also a volunteer firefighter, a member of the Lake Whitney Rescue Association and of the Waco PD Citizen Police Academy. So you can see she's pretty well-rounded. And she is a graduate of Baylor University majoring in journalism, and she won the 2000 Academy of American Poets Prize and the 2000 Virginia S. Beale Poetry Prize for a villanelle she wrote titled Bright Light. And it's such a wonderful poem, and I'm so happy to welcome Danita to the show. Tonight she is going to share that poem with you. So, Danita, how are you?
Yes. Hi, Michelle.
I knew you'd have a great voice. I can already hear you have energy.
So,
proof that even though you have been through depression, you can find another part of yourself. So, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I want, before we even get into our conversation, would it be all right with you for you to share your poem first?
Absolutely.
Now, tell us a little background first on what made you write this poem.
Well, I at the time had been reading a lot of villanelles, and it was just something I wanted to try to do. And
explain just quickly
what came from it.
Just explain quickly, just in like three words or less. What is a villanelle? For those of us who aren't, you know, really savvy in poetry, what is a villanelle? So that people understand what they're about to hear.
It's a certain pattern that repeats itself through, the lines keep repeating themselves at various times throughout the poem.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. So now, Danita, let's hear Bright Light.
Okay. Bright Light. The sun rises and brings forth something bright. My sweet darkness has been invaded, so I roll over and shut out the light. If you were here, I'd say how impolite, wanting me to lift more than an eyelid. The sun rises and brings forth something bright. Aren't you the fool, provoking a fight, flaunting your brilliance where I was shaded? So I roll over and shut out the light. Despite the distance, you're still in my sight. Do you still remember all that you did? The sun rises and brings forth something bright. I feel your warm touch, my strong, shiny night. Then I think how just last night you faded. So I roll over and shut out the light. Should I welcome tomorrow's daylight when my peace will once more be invaded? The sun rises and brings forth something bright. So I roll over and shut out the light.
I love the whole refrain of I roll over and shut out the light, because I think any of us who are struggling with depression, that's all you really want to do, is just shut out the light, shut out the world, and just accept the darkness. Where did that line come from?
It was honestly, I mean, just for me, at the time I was struggling with severe depression, and I slept quite a bit. And in my aggravation, most days I would get really aggravated if things were just too bright around me. I just wanted peaceful sleep.
And did peaceful sleep bring you what you were looking for?
At the time, I suppose it wasn't very productive, but at the time, I guess it's what I needed.
Danita, what were your other symptoms of depression?
I'd say lack of motivation and not being able to think really clearly. I wouldn't be able to concentrate really well, and just, I don't know, sort of tired.
Very
and
tired.
Lack of energy.
And I always felt like there was no point in doing anything, because nothing was going to make me feel better, so why bother? Did you feel that
exactly.
way?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, you just don't see an end to, and you don't see the point to anything. There's no purpose.
That's a great way of putting it. No purpose at all.
And then I
wasn't very, I'm very all about self-empowerment now, but back then it took me a long time to get to that sort of place where I began to believe that I needed to actually engage in my recovery and be proactive and make choices and take actions. And it took me a while to get there. What did you find that helped you cope with depression?
Educating myself. That's been the biggest, I guess, way I've been able to cope with it. I mean, this is something I became aware of when I was in high school, that I was suffering. I knew I was suffering from depression, and started doing research. And that's just what I've been doing over the years to keep myself I don't know, I mean, from losing hope is trying to learn more and find new information or new ways to work with it or cope with it.
I so completely agree. Education, I think, is the key to recovery from so much in life, because the more you understand about what's happening in your mind, both in an emotional way, in a physiological way, there are sometimes biological factors, the more you understand all of that, the more you can start putting together a picture of who you actually are. And I think a lot of times we lose sight of who we are in all of that depression and that murky blackness. And when you start shining a light on all of it and putting the picture together, you start getting clues to not only who you are, but what you want and what you need. And that can really help define your path of getting yourself out of it. Would you say that there have been methods or treatments that have been effective in alleviating your depression?
Well, I've been on antidepressants for several years, and they have helped some, but at the same time, I've always been in search of methods that were non-pharmaceutical. Not that I think that there's anything wrong with it. I just prefer more natural methods. And well, I did go through EMDR therapy, which, I'll be honest, that has been the biggest help over the years. Reprocessing trauma.
Yeah, exactly. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Your Life After Trauma on CVU Radio, and I'm speaking to award-winning poet Denita Stevens about depression. And let's talk a little bit about EMDR. That's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. If you are interested in EMDR and learning more about it, you can read about it on the HealMyPTSD.com website. You can just click on the treatment tab and it will show you a page for alternative treatments. EMDR is an information processing therapy. Denita, what did it do for you?
Well, it just desensitized me to the world, basically, because until I had gone through the EMDR therapy, everything, I was overwhelmed by the world, basically. Noises, lights, everything was too much. And once I started going through the reprocessing, it really took away the power from the trauma. The trauma was no longer it no longer had a hold on me the way that it had for so many years.
I bet that felt incredible. What change did you see in yourself because of that?
I stopped being so isolated. Because as I'm sure you're familiar with, it's difficult whenever you're in the midst of depression and such to be around people, because you just feel like everybody's staring at you, or they're like, what is wrong with her? and it just makes you really self-conscious. And the EMDR really helped me, I guess, get out of myself and not feel just so disconnected from the world itself. I started reconnecting, where I hadn't done that in a very long time because I literally didn't know how to do it.
Right, and I bet that leads to hope as well, because suddenly you're not so alone. So often we feel so incredibly alone, and then when you start reconnecting, you start realizing not only are you not alone, but you've made progress. And to me, the tiniest bit of progress was always so phenomenal. I am Michelle Rosenthal. You're listening to Your Life After Trauma. And in the 2 minutes or so that we have left, Denita, tell me this. How has poetry factored into how you cope?
It has helped me to make something productive, something beautiful, in a sense, out of painful experiences. So it doesn't feel as if that suffering was the only purpose for what I've gone through. It helps me find a purpose.
Right, it gives meaning. I feel so often that for a long time, I really struggled after my trauma to find meaning in it. I mean, what meaning was there in it? I was just a kid at the time. How could that happen to a child? And what I've learned now, you know, I was 13 at the time of my trauma. I will tell you all, I am 43 now. And what I really learned in the intervening years is that we can't necessarily find meaning in our trauma, but we can make meaning come out of it. And what I hear you saying is exactly the same thing.
That's the same thing that I've really learned, is that, I mean, I couldn't find a purpose for what I'd been through, but I've been able to make something from it, make something out of it, so that it wasn't just a complete loss.
Exactly. If you were going to give people an idea, we have about a minute left, so if you were going to give people an idea of what they could do to make the progress that you have made, what would you suggest?
I would suggest that not to expect changes overnight. It's a constant, something that you have to constantly work with. And it's not easy, but it's well worth it. And it's possible. It's possible to change your life.
Okay.
It's possible. I mean, and that's something that I'd like for people to, you know, really believe that there is hope out there. And if you just keep looking, you can find it.
I think that's the most important thing that you could have said, Danita, because especially in depression, but definitely when you're post-trauma, your idea of what's possible becomes so enormously skewed. And from the outside looking in, or from where you and I are looking back, it helps, I think, to know that we were right. We worked hard, and we were right, that there is progress that can be made. And for anyone who says otherwise, I recommend everybody I work with get as far away from those people as possible.
I agree. That is, I mean, there, anything is possible if you believe it.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Danita, for saying that and for being here with me tonight on Your Life After Trauma. If you're just joining us on CVU Radio, I am Michelle Rosenthal. Danita, I'll see you online.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle, for having me.
Have a great night. Thank you for being here.
You too.
For those of you who are thinking about next week at 7 o'clock and what you'll be doing, might I suggest that you come back and join me on Your Life After Trauma. Our topic next week is a topic I feel so excited about. I love this. It's a furry topic. I'll be talking about pets and trauma recovery, how pets can help us heal. And I have three really interesting guests next week. One is Laura Westerfield. She's the founder of Paws and People Assisting Wounded Warriors. And she trains service dogs, but they're not just regular service dogs. Like, when I think of service dogs, I think of Labradors and Goldens. She actually works with Great Danes, and she's noticed they teach themselves. So she has some really terrific stories. I'll also have on Janet Austin, who is a PTSD veteran's wife, and she's actually the recipient of one of Laura Westerfield's puppies. She just got her last week. So we'll get to hear from her about how that's going and the difference that it makes. And my third guest will be Erwin Stovroff, who is a disabled vet and the founder of Vets Helping Heroes. He's one of Boca's own, so for all of you who are local, please join us at 7 p.m. next Thursday night. And I have a special, very special guest that will be in the studio with me. My Wheaton Terrier, Bailey, will be here with me to discuss how he came into my life at a critical post-trauma juncture and taught me how to reconnect to the world, the present moment, and most importantly, myself. Now, for the healing thought of the week, it's very difficult to believe in your own ability to achieve, as both of our guests tonight have talked about. But sometimes, especially struggling with the post-trauma experience of rebuilding your world, of accepting that you are no longer who you were before the world intruded, and now you have to figure out who this new person is, it can seem as if you have no skills, no gifts, and very little ability to achieve a complete reconstruction of your life. I want to share with you Joan Mills' whole arc through her understanding of what she could achieve. She said, "I've gone through believing that I have no strength and that everyone else does, and now I'm dazzled to discover my capacities are real. It's like finding a fortune in the lining of an old coat." I want all of you to remember in the next week to look for your own fortune. And until we're together again, remember this. You have enormous healing potential. The goal is learning to access it. Dig deep. You can do this. I believe in you.